This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baby, welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Up State. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number. If you would like to be a part of the radio program, now is a spectacular opportunity for you to do just that. Jump on board. We're talking college football. We're going to get to the NFL here in just a moment. Let me set you up for the rest of the radio program. We have got coming up for you this AM a little more college football here. We're going to take an early look at the NFL weekend next. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will join us in 39 minutes from now. We'll get into the Panthers' win last week against the Finns and their contest coming up this Sunday hosting the Cowboys of Dallas. Then, at 9 o'clock, on the dot, we'll be joined by Kevin Thomas and Jarrell Hendricks of the Moving the Chains podcast. The fellas will come by to chat about some of the biggest games taking place around the upstate, including a game that you will hear right here this evening on the Fan Upstate, a rivalry game. The Burns Rebels going on the road up to the reservation to take on the Gaffney Indians. We'll get their thoughts on that game and all the other big games taking place around the upstate later on at 9 a.m. Then at 9:20, the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM, Denton Day, is going to swing by. We'll get his thoughts on Clemson at BC, South Carolina at LSU, Alabama at Mizzou, Ohio State at Illinois, Texas and Oklahoma, all the big games coming up this weekend that will impact the national picture. Denton Day at 9:20. And as we always do, the final segment of the show, Lonzo and I will give you our NFL predictions, projections, and prognostications for the NFL weekend. Let's get back to the college football here for just a few minutes. We'll do some early NFL in the next segment. Now, I did not intend for the two games that we broke down in the last hour to be the only two games we broke down in the last hour. Ohio State at Illinois, Alabama at Missouri. But I do think that these two games were worthy of a little bit of extended conversation. And I believe that because you have the Big Ten front runner for the national championship. And while Alabama may not be considered right now the Southeastern Conference front runner for the national championship, I think you could consider them that. I mean, I know that there are a couple of SEC teams that are ranked higher right now than number 8 Alabama. Ole Miss right now at 5-0. If I said right now Alabama Ole Miss this weekend, who would you pick as the favorite? I'll keep it a buck. I'd pick Alabama. That's just me. Texas A&M is ranked ahead of Alabama. If they played right now, who would you pick as a favorite? Probably a little closer, to be honest, but I'd still take Alabama. Oklahoma is ranked ahead of Alabama right now. They are 5-0. Who would you take? Probably Oklahoma, but that is going to be dependent on what No Fear John Mateer looks like. Who, by the way, for the sake of the Red River Shootout, which we'll talk about here in just a moment, John Mateer has been upgraded to probable for that contest, meaning there is now a 75%+ chance that he will be able to or will play this weekend for the Oklahoma Boomer Sooners. So I would make the argument that the two front runners for the national championship right now are Alabama and Oklahoma. Ohio State at Illinois, I absolutely believe is a losable game for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, I think they will have to play not a great game to get there. I think they would have to make some mistakes. They'd have to turn the ball over a couple of times. But that's the type of game that is a losable game. And I think Alabama on the road at Mizzou. I gave you the one statistic that tells me I think that game is going to be close. I do think it is a losable game for Mizzou. I am not picking Mizzou to win the game. As of right now, I am picking the University of Alabama to win the game. But I do think it is going to be a close game, which my takeaway was I will not be shocked if it is a close game. Bama wins by a field goal, maybe by 10. And then we come in on Monday, and I see a lot of takes on the internet of, okay, maybe we overrated Alabama. No. I think you underrated Missouri. We'll get back into that one later on. But for now, I would like to take a look at the rest of the schedule. Pitt is at Florida State. Florida State favored by 10.5 at the crib. The question that gets answered this weekend for Florida State, a team that 3 weeks ago looked like they might be the ACC's front runner for a national championship, but then they lose on the road to Virginia on a Friday night. Then they turn around and they get B-slapped by Miami, a 28-22 score closer than the actual contest was at any point. Florida State got a couple of desperation touchdowns up late when Miami was playing a soft defense. Florida State favored by 10.5 against Pitt in this one. Pitt is a team that is good. It's good. I still don't think that they're that big of a threat to anybody, but they are also a team that is coached by Pat Narduzzi, who understands that he might be the next guy after Dave Doran on the chopping block in the besides Bill Belichick. Outside of Dave Doran on the chopping block in the ACC, these are the type of games that help save your job. These are the types of games that the Pitt people go, okay, all right, well, we still got a spark. We'll give it a shot. I think Florida State's in trouble here. I don't like a pick of 10.5, honestly. Like, that's one of those magic numbers I don't love. Maybe 9.5, they'll love it at 10.5. Looking down the rest of the day, Indiana is at Oregon. The Ducks are favored by 7.5. This is, hands down, no questions asked, without a conversation, this is the best quarterback matchup of the weekend. Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza. One of these two dudes is going to wake up Sunday morning with an interesting change in the Heisman Trophy odds. Dante Moore at Oregon right now, Fernando Mendoza at Indiana right now, both inside the top four in terms of odds, shortest odds to win the Heisman Trophy. Indiana is a team that obviously I liked a lot last year. I liked them last year primarily, obviously, because of Kurt Cignetti, who might be the funniest coach in college football, whether he's trying to be or he's not. But I honestly think they're a real football team this year. They can run the ball well. Fernando Mendoza is one of the better quarterbacks in college football, at least has performed like it so far. The win over Illinois, the win by Indiana over Illinois was a 1,000% yo, we're no joke moment for the Indiana Hoosiers. According to the ESPN matchup predictor, they've got Oregon with a 68% chance to win this game. Indiana with a 32% chance. I think this game's close. And I love the Ducks. I love Dan Lanning. I think Dan Lanning genuinely might be, I put a might on it, Dan Lanning might be the best coach in college football right now. I'm not talking the most entertaining. I'm not talking about the most decorated. I'm not talking about the most successful. I'm saying the best. Did you see the clip of Dan Lanning getting the boys hyped up to go play in the whiteout game against Penn State? If you haven't seen the clip of the pregame speech, Oregon posted it because Oregon does not give a what anybody thinks about the program. Dan Lanning's in the locker room and he's yelling at the Ducks, like, you know, positive support yelling. He's yelling at him. He goes, there's 100,000 people out there all wearing white and they are going to be loud. But the last I checked, they aren't allowed to play. They can't throw the ball. They can't catch the ball. They can't run the ball. They can't block. They can't tackle. There's 100,000 plus people out there wearing white. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a canvas for us to paint a picture of victory. I was like, dog, I think I could go beat Penn State right now. Like, it was hype. Love Dan Lanning. He's got two things going for him that I think you have to have to be a head coach, a successful head coach in college football. I've talked about the four pillars. To me, there are four pillars of being an excellent college football coach in 2025. Player acquisition, player retention, player development, game day execution. You got to be good getting them in. You got to be good keeping them in. You got to be good developing them. And you got to have them ready to play and executing on Saturdays. Dan Lanning is one of very few coaches. Dan Lanning, Brent Key, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, all in that mix. Kirby Smart at Georgia. Has all four of those pillars checkmarked, all of them. I like this Ducks team. But I'm going to tell you right now, you know what the difference is between Kurt Cignetti and Dan Lanning? Money. That's it. Money. It's money. That's the difference. Oregon's got it. Indiana's trying to get it. That's the difference. I am very confident that if he wants to leave Indiana, Kurt Cignetti could be coaching in the SEC next year. Kurt Cignetti could be coaching in the ACC. Kurt Cignetti could step up next year. If, theoretically, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if Michigan decides at the end of the year, like, Sharon Moore's not the guy, we want to move on, I couldn't be on the phone with Kurt Cignetti fast enough. Love this guy. I think this game is close. This game, I am taking Indiana inside the spread. 7.5 favored the Ducks. And I love the Ducks. You know I love Dante Moore. I have been talking up Dante Moore dating back to week one. I love Dante Moore. I love Dan Lanning. I love the Oregon Ducks. And I do think Oregon is a national championship caliber team this year. I just think Indiana's right there in the back pocket. I think this is a good Indiana team. Give me the Hoosiers inside of 7.5 on the road at Autzen Stadium. Tough place to play, but as electric as Autzen Stadium is, Indiana has played in environments as tough, if not tougher, before. They've played at Ohio State. They've played at Michigan. They've played in a playoff game. They have played in games with tougher environments. And I would maybe even make the argument that despite that, this is if Indiana could win this game, this would 1,000% be the game that y'all would go, damn, Rob Brown was right about the Hoosiers the entire time. But after they dumped 63 on a top 10 team in Illinois, if they turn around and they were to get Oregon after Oregon went to Penn State and got that win, if it was earlier in the season, you probably wouldn't have as much admiration because Oregon ain't played nobody, Paul, except Penn State on the road, who they won. Of course, Penn State turned around and lost to UCLA, took a little shine off the apple, so to speak. But Indiana has a chance to make a statement this weekend. And if there is a weakness for the Oregon Ducks, it's that they can get a little too aggressive. They were able to beat Penn State because Drew Aller is not good. He's not bad. He's just not good. A lot of missed passes, a lot of bad mistakes, and not a statue in the pocket, but he's not Fernando Mendoza. And yet Penn State was able to keep it close, granted, because they have probably two of the best seven or eight running backs in the country. And they were able to lean on those guys in tough spots. But there's not a big threat of Drew Aller tucking and running. There's just not. And if that threat's not there, I can play a little more free in the defensive backfield. I think that's what makes this game interesting, because you can't play that way if you're the Ducks with Fernando Mendoza. You have to be on the attack. I like the Oregon Ducks inside of seven, or excuse me, the Indiana Hoosiers inside of 7.5 against the Oregon Ducks, even if it is on the road. And then at 3:30 p.m., no fear, John Mateer is back. Well, he's listed as probable on the injury report, so I'm going to guess that no fear, John Mateer is back in this game. Cotton Bowl, Dallas, Texas, the Longhorns. Can I get somebody to explain this one to me? I'm looking up the odds. I always look up the odds. right? Like, I think you get a pretty good representation because in the game, there are only two entities that are completely and entirely unbiased every time they give a take. Those two entities are me and Las Vegas. We're the only ones, I think. So, Lonzo, the number six Oklahoma Boomer Sooners, in Dallas, taking on the unranked Arch Manning-led Texas Longhorns. What's the spread on this game? Shot in the dark.
13.5.
Oklahoma favored by 13.5?
Yes.
I was going to say Oklahoma minus 7.5, put it on a touchdown number, but we're both in the positive. Bet ESPN has the line Texas minus 1.5. Texas minus 1.5. Not even plus 1.5. Even plus 1.5, I'd be like, do what now? Do what now? Huh? How? What? Who? What? What is happening here? That's the same team that just lost to Florida, right? Same team that lost to Florida. Now, in fairness, Florida looked good in that game. That's the same team that lost to Florida. Texas favored by 1.5? I got to tell you, fellas, usually, Rob Brown might have bets on just in the morning slot, 3 or 4 games, 3 or 4 baby bets, 3 or 4 beer bets, little $5, $10 bets here and there just to kind of make it more fun, whatever. I have one because all the money that I would take, and I might pick a side in Ohio State, Illinois. I might pick a side in Alabama, Mizzou. I might pick a side in some of these games. Put it all on the Boomer Sooners. How is Texas fair? You're giving me Oklahoma plus 1.5? Plus a point. You're giving me Oklahoma and 1.5. I don't understand this line at all. When Denton Day joins us in 1 hour and 5 minutes from now, I may not even talk Clemson, South Carolina. I may just go, Denton Day, what the hell is this line? And see if he can walk me into something because I've got nothing in this one.
What is this hold that Texas has that makes people think that they're still going to... I don't get it.
I don't either. Like, it is the first time that... And again, like, what blows my mind is it's a spot that I think a lot of people are going to rush to blame the lamestream media. They're all hyped up. They're all this, they're all that. Guys, the Vegas lines aren't set by the media. They're not. They're set by people who sit in the back room in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they try to come up with as close to what will happen as they can to get the bet split in a way that they want split.
Texas is one of the bigger states. Do they bet more than other states?
I mean, there is an impact there, but I do not believe sports wagering is legal in the state of Texas yet. I could be wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong.
Yeah, anyway. So
if it's not legal in Texas, then that comes off the books as a reason, right?
Does it?
Yeah. If you can't.
You're right, because the people in Texas can't figure out.
They can't sway the line.
They can't figure out how to bet somewhere
Sports
else.
Gambling is not legal in Texas. They can, but here's the thing. If gambling is illegal in Texas, the number of people who are going to do it is a fraction of the people who would. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about daily fantasy. I'm talking betting. Because like in South Carolina, daily fantasy is legal, right? That's why we do a lot of prop bets. Because you can bet on DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. But you can't bet on a game. You can't bet South Carolina minus whatever or LSU plus 7.5. You can't bet that. You can only bet Lenora Sellers over under passing yards, whatever. Same in Texas. So you'll have a lot of people that are betting in Texas on prop bets, but you won't have a ton that are betting on lines and spreads because you're legally not allowed to. And you kind of got to, if you're going to bet in a state where it's not legal, you got to know somebody who knows somebody who hooks you up, right? Not a lot of people are going to be willing to go through the hoops to get there. I don't think it's enough to impact this.
Well, I'm not going to play into your media narrative.
I'm not saying it's the media. I'm saying in this case.
There's got to be some other reason why Vegas is giving Texas this much credit.
I agree. Now, perhaps there's something and we find out. Perhaps John Mateer comes out and somebody in John Mateer's camp has let it slip that after the surgery, John Mateer doesn't have the same hand strength that he did, or that John Mateer after his surgery can't put the zip on the ball that he was putting on the ball before it. Like maybe there is something behind the scenes. But I also think...
Yeah, but Manning's still playing, right?
There's also that. So I genuinely don't understand this line at all. Give me Oklahoma to cover 1.5. Minus 1.5. Easy. Easy. In fact, I'll go ahead and bet the money line on this. Give me some plus money on Oklahoma to just win this game. I'll be shocked, man. I'll be shocked. All right, when we come back, let's take an early look at the NFL schedule. Then, in about 22 minutes from right now, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast stops by. We'll take a look back at the win over Miami, look ahead at the game against Dallas on Sunday. Kevin and Jarrell from Moving the Chains at 9 o'clock to set you up for the high school football weekend. Denton Day of SiriusXM at 9:20 to set you up for the college football weekend. Our NFL picks to wrap up the show. Thoughts on South Carolina, Clemson all scattered in as the Rob Brown Show continues. This is the Fan Upstate.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Tell you what I'd like to do, if you don't mind. I said we were going to do a first look at the NFL schedule this weekend. But we always end the show with our NFL schedule look. And as I look down the rest of the college football landscape, we got a bunch more games that I would like to get to. And then we'll have Denton Day join us in an hour from right now to get his thoughts on the biggest ones for the weekend. So I assume that this won't be a problem for the majority of you, but I'm going to stick with college football here for a few more minutes because we've only worked our way into, not even through, the 3:30 slot. Georgia Tech against Virginia Tech. Why is this game interesting when Virginia Tech is 2-4, 1-1 in conference, and fired their head coach a couple of weeks ago? Why is this game interesting when Georgia Tech is a 14.5-point favorite and minus 650 on the money line? I'll give you the reason this game is interesting. This game is interesting because this is a game where Georgia Tech either proves that I was right and that they are a squad, or after they had a overtime fist fight against Wake Forest last weekend, of the teams remaining on the schedule that I thought, you know, every good team gets in a close game you don't expect them to be in, but of the teams remaining on the schedule that I'm like, okay, that team could give Georgia Tech a tough game they're not expecting. I thought Duke might be in there. I thought, you know, Pitt might be in there. Certainly Georgia obviously will likely beat Georgia Tech, but we'll get to that a little bit later on in the season. I did not think that Wake Forest would be that team, but they did get into a fist fight. This is a bounce back spot for Haynes King, Jamal King, for Jamal and Brent Key and the Georgia Tech Rambling Wreck. Like, this is the bounce back spot for them. If this team doesn't bounce back, then I think we might have to say this might be a waste of Haynes King this year, because that guy is an absolute dog. But if they go out, if they cover the spread, I feel a lot better. I would also like to point out that as of now, at 5-0 in the regular season, at 2-0 in the ACC, and most importantly, with VTech, Duke, Cuse without their starting quarterback, NC State, Boston College, and Pitt remaining, Georgia Tech is on the inside track to the ACC title game. Like, they are the front runner, they in Miami right now. This is the type of game that if you were to lose this game, the door cracks open for teams like Florida State. The door cracks open for a couple of two-loss teams now to maybe climb their way back in. Because if you can lose this game, now all of a sudden Duke's a losable game if Mensah has the game of his life. Pitt's a losable game if Narduzzi is coaching for his job. Those games look a hell of a lot more losable. So this game matters a lot for the Tech wreck. If they go out and they cover, you go, okay, they're going to the ACC title game. It feels comfortable to say that at this point. Notre Dame favored by 22.5 against NC State at 3:30. Man, like, what is Jeremiah Love right now? What is Jeremiah Love? Jeremiah Love was one of the three non-quarterbacks inside the top 10 shortest odds getters for Heisman. Jeremiah Love has, so far through five games this season, 444 rushing yards. That puts him averaging about, what, 78, 80 a game at this point? Like, that's not good enough for Notre Dame. Now, as we pointed out a bunch of times, fortunately for the Irish, they are done with the meat and potatoes of their schedule. They have got USC left ahead of them. Outside of that, Boston College, Navy, Pitt, and Stanford. Like, Notre Dame cannot lose another game. That also means to me that Notre Dame better build up the momentum this weekend. I like them to cover the 22.5 against NC State. I also think, like I mentioned, I think this is probably Dave Doran's last year at NC State. This game would go a long way in fixing that if he doesn't want to go anywhere. This one's intriguing to me. The number 22 ranked Iowa State Hawkeyes are on the road in Boulder, Colorado at Folsom Field, and Iowa State's only favored by 2.5. So that's a 5.5-point swing back the other direction. Now, this has been an interesting week for Deion Sanders. Deion had to step away from the team for a few days because the belief is that the blood clots that have been a problem for him have returned. So he had to step away from the team for a few days. He has returned. He was back at practice on, I believe, Wednesday and yesterday. But this is, again, an Iowa State team at 5-1. Their only loss was on the road at Cincinnati, same team that gave Nebraska hell back in week one. And it was a close loss. It was a one-score game, 1 score and a two-pointer, 38-30, lost to the Bearcats. They've got a top 17 win in Kansas State back in week one, and they pretty much dominated everybody except Iowa. And Iowa's always that weird-ass Kirk Ferentz team where they're like, we can't score, but we're not going to let you score either. It's the one game offensively that Iowa State did not look like a team that could threaten to win the Big 12. I'm all in on Rocco Mania. Rocco Beck, their starting quarterback, over 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns to 2 picks so far. Like, I'm in on Iowa State right now as a bounce-back team in the second half. So them only laying 2.5 against Colorado is very interesting to me, considering the Colorado Buffaloes are a team that is 2-4 with a loss to Houston, loss to BYU. It's not, for the record, it's 2-4. It's not a bad set of four losses. Like, here's the catchphrase everybody hates. Colorado's the best four-loss team in college football right now. Their losses, Georgia Tech, good team. Houston, good team. BYU, good team. TCU beat North Carolina by 1,000. It's not bad four losses. They're still not a very good football team. So that line feels very much off to me. Northwestern at Penn State. This game should not be interesting. This game should not be a game that we are talking about.
Unless
Penn State lost to, I don't know, pick a bad team. UCLA. Unless like Penn State lost to UCLA. Then it's interesting. Oh, by the way, Penn State lost to UCLA. Northwestern beat UCLA. Just so we're all on the same page. They beat them. Transitive property of football is not a thing you should worry about. But this is direct. They beat UCLA, who beat Penn State. Their only other loss, by the way, or their only two losses, Tulane, who might be a Group of Five playoff team, and the Oregon Ducks. That's it. Again, as a team that is 3-2 goes, it's not bad at 3-2. Penn State favored by 21.5 in this game.
Wonder how much they were favored in last week's game.
About the same amount. About the same. Biggest upset of a top five team, if I recall, since like 1940. It's something ridiculous like that. Arkansas is at Tennessee. The Vols favored by 11.5 in this one. It is at Neyland Stadium on good old Rocky Top. Woo! Give me the Vols at the crib. The Vols are a good football team, man. Like, the Tennessee Volunteers are a good football team. I don't know that they're a great football team. They lost one game, very close game, OT game against Georgia. They have beat everybody else. They have scored at least 41 points in every game they have played so far, including their one loss, 41 points on the board. Tennessee is going to rip Arkansas. Favored by 11.5, lay them all. A&M favored at the crib over Florida by 7.5 points. Did Vegas buy into Florida, or did Florida just have a really bad game against LSU? Did everybody buy into Florida as a 2-3 football team, or did we look at, okay, you lost to LSU, you lost to Miami, turns out those two teams are pretty good, maybe you're not as bad as we thought you were? Because I got to tell you, I told you, I don't love 7.5 point spreads. I usually stay away from them. I feel like Texas A&M minus 7.5 is a play here. Like, I know you got the win over Texas, but also it took every bit of emotion you had, energy you had to get that win. Now you got to go to the compound and play in front of the Colt and the weirdos in their overalls. But I still like the Colt at the house over Florida. Like, I don't know where that number's coming from. Georgia at Auburn. Georgia favored by 1.5, minus 3.5 against the War Eagle Tigers in this one. I am stuck on Auburn. Because on one hand, the Auburn Tigers are 3-2. I'm stuck on Auburn because out of that 3-2, you had a loss to Oklahoma that I genuinely believe was referee impacted, and you lost on the road at a top five Texas A&M team by 6. Back-to-back losses to two top 11 teams, both of them won score games, one impacted by the refs, one just a very good game you happened to lose. I don't know what the hell Auburn is. I do know that Georgia, being a one-loss team, and that one loss only coming to the Alabama Crimson Tide, they turn around and beat Kentucky 35-14 in a bounce-back game as they should have. I kind of think Georgia-Auburn might be a good game. For a team that I was saying, with the Auburn Tigers, might be down a lot of transfer portal players and a head coach next year, Auburn feels like they are shockingly close to being a pretty good football team. I think I might take Auburn to cover in this one. It is the field goal and the change. I think they might lose by a field goal. And Michigan at USC, the Trojans, Lonzo, at home, favored by 2.5 in this one. They think that's going to be a last possession game. I like that. I like that. This feels like a Lincoln Riley game to me. It's been a while since we've been able to say that.
USC.
Yeah, I figured you might do that. All right, later on in the show, we'll obviously break down in more detail South Carolina at LSU, Clemson at Boston College. When we come back, Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. We'll take a look back at the Panthers' win over Miami last week, their game this Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get Rashad's thoughts on that and more next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. It is 8:40 in the morning on a Friday. On a Friday. The hashtag Friday Football Fiesta.
It is Friday.
I'm struggling, man.
I'm glad you figured that out.
Listen, we had a great sports night last night. We had MLB playoffs, teams going home, teams forcing game fives. We had the first night of hockey being back. Carolina Hurricanes, 6-3 winners over the Jersey Devils. Good night last night. We had college football on, real good game with the Tulane Green Wave last night. We had an NFL game that was absolutely shocking because Cam Scataboo's an absolute lunatic. So I'm a little geeked up about the weekend. I have to assume for right now that Rashad Beard, the host of the Panther Nation podcast, is also at least mildly geeked up for the weekend because, for the second time this year, unsuccessful the first, the Carolina Panthers have an opportunity to put back-to-back wins together with the Dallas Cowboys coming to the crib. And the week after, Rico Dowdle lost his bleeping mind. He's taking on the Dallas Cowboys, his previous employers. Rashad Beard, you jacked up about Sunday, or are you just kind of in that, like, we'll see mode you've been in the last few weeks?
I'm still in the we'll see mode. Again, I'm not going to get caught, getting overly excited about a game. Until I see it, I need to see it. But you know, last Sunday was great against the Miami Dolphins. That you know that we had a comeback victory, a successful comeback victory. We look good, like you said, Rico. Put the team on his back.
I'm not gonna do defense. It every time, but
okay,
I can't
all right, because I might get caught saying Rico a lot. You can go ahead and do it one more time. But yeah, Rico is a beast. He definitely put the team on his back, and you know, helped us overcome a couple of turnovers from Bryce Young. So, again, there are some things we need to be careful about, you know, with Bryce Young and the turnovers. We got lucky. The Dolphins are not a good team. We can't get away with turning the football over like that against good teams consistently. Obviously, we've seen that. But, yeah, we did it on Sunday, and so I'm happy about it. I enjoyed the bank. We are 2-0 inside of Bank America Stadium. So hopefully we can keep defending the bank, and that will continue on this Sunday.
No, totally agree. Miami is not a good football team. At the same time, Rashad Beard, it was, as far as Tua Tagovailoa goes, one of the better games that he had individually, and yet you guys were able to kind of stifle that offense. I do want to flip to your offense at one point, but from the defensive side of the football field, it looked like it was the most comprehensive game that Carolina's defense has played. I don't necessarily think you look at it and you go, what a hell of a game. I'm saying it was the most complete game you've played so far. You will have to be better against Dak and the Cowboys to string two together. But the takeaway for me was, at a spot where you're looking for any silver lining to tug on, is a start.
Yeah, I mean, the defense collectively, if you look at the first five games, they're top 12, right, in total defense, which is something that I've asked for. I've come on this show several times and said, hey, all we need is our defense to be average. And they're doing that. You know, they're doing that. And we need the offense to step up. But the defense, they did a good job on Sunday. You know, they got three sacks, which matched their total in the entire season. So that's a positive. We're able to get to the quarterback, apply some pressure. Now, with some context, Miami has one of the worst offensive lines in the league, but we were able to take advantage of that, which is great. One thing we do need to work on is defending the tight end, because Darren Waller looked like prime Darren Waller going up against us early in that game. We were able to shut him down. I think Corey Thornton was on him, got matched up against him, was able to slow him down a little bit throughout the game. But early in that game, Darren Waller was going ham. So we need to make sure we do a better job against the tight ends, because that's not a good look. But yeah, the defense did a good job. And I will give credit where credit is due, because they made a change. And I think this may have helped a couple of people. Especially our linebackers. We've been very critical of our linebacker play. And one thing the Panthers did do was switch the play caller. So now Trevin Wallace has the green dot on his helmet. He's calling plays, which allows Christian Roseboom to now play freer. He doesn't have to worry about calling the plays and all that stuff. That was, I believe, something that helped out, and it looked like Christian Roseboom was playing freely. We saw him make some tackles in the backfield. I'm not saying I made a mistake on my show and said he looked like Luke a little. I got excited. I went a little bit too far, Rob. He did not look like Luke Kuechly, but he definitely looked better than what he looked in the first 4 weeks. So maybe that change definitely helped. So I'm looking forward to our defense definitely improving against Dallas. We're certainly going to need it.
Yeah, the tight end thing makes you a little nervous when Jake Ferguson showed back up last week with a couple of tutties for the Cowboys. And that
exactly.
If he gets rolling in that one, if Dak gets comfortable with him, then all of a sudden George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb on the outside get a little bit scary. I thought that the cornerback specifically, but the DBs played a better game. However, you are about to go up against an offense with, to me, a quarterback that's never been the problem for the Dallas Cowboys, and a pair of all-pro wide receivers on both sides and a stud tight end in the middle. What is the best and worst possible outcome with the passing offense? Because Dallas is not a great running team. If you can take the pass away, you give yourself a chance. Can you?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think Dak is playing really good football, considering what's around him. You know, CD is out, so he doesn't have CD, which is going to be tough, right, without him. But Pickens, those other guys have stepped up. The biggest question for Dallas is that offensive line, right? They also have a not great offensive line. So the question is, can the Panthers once again take advantage of a weakened offensive line for a team? And the problem is that Dak is a much better quarterback than Tua. And so Dak is going to be able to get the football out take advantage of the weaknesses in our coverage, especially in the second, in the linebacker room, covering those tight ends. So it's going to be a challenge. This is not going to be like last week. I think Dallas is going to be able to push the football. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. So whatever, I don't know what the over under is, but I would take the over because Dallas' defense isn't that great either. But I'll stick to Dallas' offense. But yeah, Dak is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough matchup for our defense. Our secondary is our strong suit, right? You know, you've got J.C. Horn, Mike Jack. Those guys have been playing very well. I think it's going to be a tough matchup, but I think the secondary is capable. The biggest thing we have to take advantage of is their offensive line. And I would also say we did a great job against the run last week. 19 total yards on the ground for Miami. Can we, if we can repeat that kind of performance, I think we can try to stop Dak. It'll be tough, but we're going to try to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the play. Again, taking away the run, making it be, Dak, if you want to beat us, you got to go get 300 and three tutties through the air, and then not letting him do that. Like, that's going to be the ball game. Flip to the other side. I have been saying that I do think Bryce Young can, and I say this because we've seen him do it, be better than a 191 touchdown kind of guy. At the same time, it has felt to me, Rashad Beard, as if that's not either what Dave Canales wants out of him in this offense, or he doesn't trust him to do more than that in the offense, or they are just trying to be a more dink and donk, but emphasis on the run football team, and that's why we're not seeing him pop off. Where do you think the roadblock is between Bryce Young and being the guy we saw in weeks 7 through 12 last year, this year?
It's interesting. I think the brand of football that Canales wants to play, I don't think Canales wants Bryce Young to throw for 300 yards a game. I think when you look at the Panthers' win losses, the wins are when Bryce Young throws under 200 yards. The defense is able to do their job, and you know, and we're able to run the football. You saw what happened with Rico. Like, when Rico's getting off, we're good. We don't want Bryce Young to be able to have to take over a football game and put it all on Bryce Young. We don't need that, right? We don't need that. We have a good offensive line, which is one of the best run blocking offensive lines in the league, right? We can run the football. So we don't need to put everything on Bryce Young. He did a great job, and he does a great job when he needs to. Those fourth down plays last week, he had a couple of them. The throw to T-Mac where he, you know, evaded the pressure and threw a sidearm to T-Mac on a fourth down. That play essentially flipped the entire game. There was another play that he did on fourth down. Again, the touchdown throw to seal the game. He's capable, but I don't think that's the brand of football that Canales wants. I don't think he wants to put everything on Bryce Young's shoulders. This is a team game. Let's run the football. I think that's Panthers football. If you look at the historically, we've always been able to run the football. So I think that's what we want.
I think that's fair. I also said that, yeah, that play, that pass, spectacular. That touchdown pass to Xavier Leggett was about as pretty as it gets. I mean, anticipating the spot, getting it to the spot, getting it to where XL's going to be, but in the spot where only he can get it. That's one of those passes that you look and you go, friggin' that, like that. Like, let's pull that out of the bag every now and then. But I agree that those passes and those plays were there because Rico Dowdle's out there being a dog. What do you make of what Rico Dowdle did? Is that he took everybody by surprise because he had not had that much emphasis in the offense because it's been Chuba's game and it was breakout? Do you make Rico Dowdle is him? Like, where do you land on his performance and potentially the ability to do it again against the team that signed his paychecks last year?
Yeah, I think, man, Rico, people forget Rico was a 1,000-yard back last year with Dallas, right? So he is certainly capable of doing what he did. Now, that being said, Rico, it was fantastic. But I got to be honest with you, Rob, I probably could have ran for a hundo against against Miami. The rush lanes were wide open. He wasn't getting contacted until like 5-6 yards down the field. Our offensive line did an amazing job, and I think Rico would tell you that first. Our offensive line did an amazing job run blocking for him. Rico did, obviously, he has great contact balance. He runs with power. He's not going to go down on the first hit. I saw that when he was able to get touches prior to this game, when he was splitting carries with Chuba. I wanted to see more from Rico because he runs angry. You know what I mean? So the Rico is certainly capable. And we have a great problem. This is what depth looks like, right? We haven't seen it very often in other positions, but our running back position is a strength. And I'm certainly happy that Rico's on the team. But yeah, I think he's looking for a little bit of revenge against Dallas. I think we have a lot. There's a lot of crossover between Dallas and Carolina. There's a couple of players on their team that were once Panthers and vice versa. So this is going to be an interesting game. But I think certainly Rico can do it because the Dallas defense is not that great. So I think we can certainly, maybe not 200, but I think he can certainly eclipse 100 to 150 yards.
Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Talk to me just the 36,000 foot view. What is going down in this game? What's your final score prediction?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think both defenses are going to have trouble stopping each other. I think it's going to boil down to who can make the last stop, right? I think that it's going to be tougher for Carolina. This is Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. We're going to have a hard time slowing down that offensive attack, even with CeeDee Lamb being out. We got to be able to stop the tight end. You know, Ferguson is a beast. Being able to stop the run game and put the ball in Dak's hands, make him throw the football. I think this is a winnable game for the Carolina Panthers. I think that it is a home game, and we have been able to protect the bank. Although it's going to be a lot of Dallas fans inside of Bank of America Stadium, it's going to be like a pseudo home game for Dallas. That's wherever they travel is basically a pseudo home game. But it's going to be a tough matchup. I'm going high score. I don't do score predictions, Rob, but I do think, you know, the Carolina Panthers can't get the W.
Yeah, I think it is a winnable game. The take I had, Rashad, fair or foul, the take I had was it's a winnable game. You're going to have to play the best game you've played all year to win it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's going to be wire to wire. First quarter to fourth quarter, every down is going to matter. And Bryce ultimately has to protect the football. Bottom line, period.
Yeah, that rolling out to the left and just dropping the football, that's the mark. That's the mark of somebody A playing scale. And don't get me wrong, like the thing I have tried to tell people since then is, you know, Bryce was getting his bell rung, right? He was getting his ass whipped when that happened. He was taking shots. So like I get it. But at the same time, even if you're taking the shots, man, put that thing away. Like if you see the hit coming, just tuck it. We'll take the sack before we do that. Anything like that happens, shots over real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we fought back against Miami, but we can't continue to rely on that comeback. It did not work against Arizona. It worked against Miami, but we cannot continue to rely on that comeback. That's putting the ball in Bryce's hands. And he has a clutch gene in him, like we've seen in Alabama. He has it in him, but we don't want to rely on that every single week. So let's let the defense do their job. Offense, play safe football, protect the football, and I think we can win this game.
Rashad Beard hosts the Panther Nation podcast. Follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, find them on YouTube. Click the old subscribe button. Get yourself locked in. Going live Sunday, going live Monday, going live both.
Probably. I don't know. We'll see. I'm a it's emotional type of guy. We'll see. One thing is, we have an opportunity to be 500, right? The Carolina Panthers have the opportunity to be 500 for the first time since I think 2021. So this is a great time for Carolina Panthers football. We haven't been 500 in a long time, so I'm looking forward to it. And I probably will go live if we get the W.
You know, I kind of knew that, but hearing you say it out loud kind of hurt a little bit. I mean, not me, yeah. But for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
It's like, man, I hope he's not accurate with that, but I'm sure he is.
That's a long time for a team that always plays two games to start the season, and just winning one would put you in that spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's accurate, unfortunately.
Rashad Beard, big dog. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
You got it. Anytime. Rashad Beard. Panther Nation podcast. Again, make sure you're following them on X at Panther Nation PC. Make sure you follow them on YouTube as well. When we come back, Kevin and Jarrell from the Moving the Chains pod will get us set for the high school football around the upstate this evening. Then Denton Day of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime joins us to break down the college football weekend. We wrap up the show with our NFL picks all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Now, the Rico Dowdle of sports flashes.
I hope so. I hope it's that successful. The New York Giants shocked the Eagles last night, which was not successful, handing the defending champs their second consecutive loss for the first time since 2023. With a 34-17 win, rookie Cam Scataboo rushed for 98 yards and 3 touchdowns, while Jackson Dart completed 17-25 passes for 195 yards and a score. In the MLB playoffs, the Dodgers punched their ticket to the NLCS and ended the Phillies season with a 2-1 win in 11 innings. Tyler Glasnow punched out eight and allowed two runs and no hits across six innings. The Phillies had just four hits, going 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. And the Chicago Cubs stayed alive, beating the Brewers 6-0 last night. Matthew Boyd struck out six batters, gave up two hits and no runs in 4.2 innings. The winner of Game 5 will face the Dodgers for the pennant.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.